Good morning and welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living, Midtown Atlanta. I am Reverend Dr. Bob Dean, the Senior Minister and Spiritual Director or Leader for this organization. I want to welcome you. I'm telling you, we're glad you're here, and I hope you are ready for a period of time of maybe changing your mind and getting a better sense of life and a greater feeling for who you are and what life's about. So I'm here to remind you that such is the nature of life, that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity, and so am I. So you see, you and I are life's opportunity to be something unique, something special, something different, just like everyone else. You know, it is our part in choosing how our lives will be. We're all given a starting point. We all have certain things. We're born into a certain culture, a certain race, a certain time, a certain place. But then after a while, we are in charge of choosing the kind of life we want to have, the kind of being we want life to be as it moves through us, whether that's a person of joy or a person of grumpiness, or as in my personal case, as in sloppiness. Or you might be a neat freak, or you might be someone from some other expression of life. And that's just wonderful, because we celebrate you, because you, whoever you are life expressing in a unique and wonderful way. We are a gathering of people of like mind in that we do celebrate one another, and we do celebrate the truth of who we are and who we each are. And then we support each other in this community on our spiritual path as we move through spiritual growth, through growing in life, and through expanding in greater joy and freedom. So welcome. I'm glad you're here. Stick here with us, because I think you're in for a good time today. To further understand who we are and what we're about, we always share our guiding principles, which we call the Declaration of Principles, written by our founder, Dr. Ernest Holmes. So I will read these and invite you to share and read along with me. I believe in one God, one absolute power and first cause to all things. I believe that this power is perfect love, and it creates out of a desire to express love. I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience. I believe in the unity of all life and the immortality of the individual soul forever expanding. I believe in the eternal goodness, the eternal loving kindness, and the eternal givingness of God to all. That being the truth, I want to invite you now to turn your attention to one of our wonderful practitioners who will bring us some good ideas, some reading, and definitely a spiritual mind treatment or affirmative prayer. Take it away, Lee.
All right. Thank you, Bob. Mm-hmm. Good to see everybody, and welcome to our center here online in the virtual world that we live in today. Did you know that there are dozens of verses in the spiritual text that point to the concept of one mind that Bob's going to be talking about today and has been talking about recently? Almost every sacred text that I read, I find something that says there's only one mind. From the very beginning of the Old Testament, we read in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. There was only God. Therefore, there was only one mind. In the New Testament, John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Everything came forth out of God. I could go on, but Bob doesn't want me to take the whole service here. So I'll finish up with 1 John 4:7, which I love, because it says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is God, and whoever loves is born of God and knows God. That says to come together as one mind and love each other and take care of each other. Every book that I study about God and God's relationship has within it the idea of oneness, one mind, one heart, even though there are many of us. But every spiritual text tells us that we should strive to be of one mind, because there we share the mind of God. When our founder Ernest Holmes spoke of affirmative prayer, he was speaking of one of the most powerful tools that we can have, It's also called spiritual mind treatment, or simply treatment, as Bob says, and we all say. We will even say that I'll treat for you when we're speaking to someone about praying for them. It's a powerful way for those of like mind to come together and be one in unity behind an idea, behind a need, behind that need being fulfilled. So now let me lead you in treatment or an affirmative prayer. Let's relax, take a breath and uncross our legs a bit. I'll speak this in the first person because I want to set my mind in the proper space. And if any of this feels right to you, please take it. If it doesn't, please let it go. I want us to be of one mind. So know this with me, if you will. I know that there is only one source that is the source of everything that exists. Everything that there is in this world today. Source is referred to by many names. Yahweh, Allah, God, Father, Christ, the universe, thousands more names. Ernest Holmes called it the thing itself. He just didn't want to carry all the heaviness that might come with some of those other terms. So today I choose to use the word source because it is the thing itself, because it is the source of everything that exists today. I know that I was created out of the desire of source to express itself and to express love because it is love. I know that I was created in the image of source. Therefore, my thoughts and words are connected to source. I know that I was created today to serve those around me, to be one with those around me. Today, I choose to be grateful. I choose to speak the words of abundance for myself and all those around me, because we all came from source. Source wants me to have everything that I desire. It wants me to be joyful. It wants me to have abundance. It wants me to understand that we, all people, are one with source. Whether we understand that or not, it's true. Because I am of one mind with source, nothing can stand in the way of my abundance except my own thoughts. So I refute anything that might stand in the way of having my mind be one with source. The one mind of God, the one mind of the universe, because this is how I was designed by source. I'm abundant because I am one mind with source. We are all abundant. We all have access to what we need, not just to survive, but to thrive. And I rejoice in that today. So I accept this abundance and I open my life to be of one mind. As I focus on the one mind with source and with those around me, those here online today, I attract what I desire in life. Today, I release words into source. All these words are released so that my thoughts create my reality. I rest in knowing that all is well as I remain one mind with source. And together we close this treatment by saying, and so it is. Thank you. The music for today is A Little More Love in the World by Bob Sema.
It's the bluest of the sea, the whisper through the trees, the serenade that drops you to your knees. It's the sparkle of the smile, the honesty in the eye, the bravest bloom reaching for the winter sky. It's the racing of your heart, the sage behind the smile, the home inside the house where you were born. It's in the things we can't explain, things perceived but never seen, everywhere. Everything in between. It's taming the monsters under your bed, fighting the wolves up in your head. It's the strange things you do when you are led. It's on the tip of your tongue, the song that's longing to be sung. It's relentless and it's only just begun. And it's calling out through you, using your heart to sing the truth. So put a little more, put a little more love in the world.
Thank you, Lee, and thank you, everyone who makes this possible. So good to be here today. So I woke up really early this morning because I always wake up early on Sunday. And as I was wandering around with my first cup of coffee, I just did what I often do, and which is kind of peruse the bookshelves and see if a particular book or idea jumps off the shelf at me. So that, and when it does, it's just kind of my way to start the day and get some sense of connection and waking up my mind and brain to what is really true. So, and this morning, a wonderful little book called Hidden Power, Unveiling Your Hidden Power, which is an alliteration of Emma Curtis Hopkins' work into a more contemporary language. And I pulled it off the shelf because the color grabbed me. It looks like that. And as I did, I opened it to a section in the back, and there were no underlines anywhere. Usually I look for an underline, but there wasn't one. So I just let my eyes fall on the paragraph. And it has shaped my whole morning and the rest of my and much of how this is going to go. So listen to what I found. It says this: we learn to see God in the apparent sick man as health, because we know that as health, God is there. We learn to see strength in the apparently feeble old woman. Please, never mind. Because God as strength is there. You may breathe strength itself by talking to strength itself. If you praise the Holy Spirit with this strength, you'll be surprised how it will hold you. There's an uplifting aura around you and around anyone who knows he or she is strong in spirit. Our strength rises and goes forward to all because we know that it is God. It goes forth just by our knowing that it is so. So our talk today, our topic today is One Mind, Infinite Connections. So I'd like to invite you to walk with me now in a meandering sort of mental trip, mental path, as I consider what grew for me out of that reading and what all of this means for me. And I invite you to think about it and take it, as Lee said earlier, take it for yourself if it resonates. So what are you seeing right now? Look around your room. Look around the place where you are. What do you see? You see furniture and books, perhaps, and things on the wall. And if you're watching this on a big screen TV, you see everything around it. Hopefully you're snuggled up comfortably warm on your chair or couch, sipping your hot chocolate or coffee or whatever you use to start your day. And as you look around, just notice what you're seeing. Perhaps you see in your home, if you're at home, or you're seeing the room around you, if you're there. You're seeing the furniture. Again, looking at this coffee or tea or whatever you're drinking. Now, I invite you to look a little closer. Look a little closer, because in that cupboard, I pull my tea out of in the morning, or my coffee, whichever I'm doing, or my chocolate. There are products in there from all over the world. It very simply came to me delivered in a little plastic bag from the local grocery store. And yet when I look more closely at those, I see cultures. I see whole civilizations that are built around tea production and the celebration of tea, and the same for coffee, and the same for hot chocolate, and the same for all of these things in my cupboard. I have plates from Mexico, and I have some dishes that I brought back from Bali that are made of bamboo and straw kind of things. And I look at that and think, wow, right here in my world, in my experience, by looking more closely, I can see into a deeper connection with the whole world. So as I look more closely, I begin to think about the people who put all that together. I look more closely and I see this furniture I'm sitting on, made by someone. In my case, it's made by my son-in-law, which is pretty awesome. And yet the very ideas of this chair I'm sitting in started long before him and were passed down through plans and other kinds of things, through understanding that at one point what I'm sitting here on was a tree. And before that, it was just a seed in the ground, probably an oak. So, and before that, it was a bloom. And before that, it was another tree. So look deeply, look closely at all those things. And when I look at the people involved in creating the things that we have and enjoy in our lives, I look more closely and what I see are agreements. Agreements between people as to what is true and what isn't. Agreements about what is real. You know? There are agreements about how do you make things? Why is a chair shaped like a chair and not shaped like something else? We have agreements about what we think and feel about things as well. You know, and these agreements that we make are connections. They are infinite in their variety and their options and their purpose. And those agreements show up then as coming to kind of trust what we've agreed upon. We send Robert Brzezinski, who manages our broadcast this morning, I send him all kinds of stuff as to what we're putting together and when and where and how. And then I get to trust that agreement that it will all show up on time, that he'll be there and the other helpers that he has, and everything will be in line and in place, and it always is. And the more often, the more frequently we do this, the stronger those agreements become. And those agreements begin to then build trust. And I have huge trust in him and his organization that's supporting us here. And so that trust then can take on an even deeper level when we look more closely at trust. Because trust at its core is really a kind of shared faith. We have a shared faith in the internet. We have a shared faith in the grid system that we live in for electrical power. Bless Texas, because they're having a rough time with that right now. And they're finding out that while they had great faith in it, there still were times when it didn't quite come through. So as we think about going deeper and looking more closely, we realize that we have faith in a lot of things that we trust. It's so much a part of our being that we don't even think about it sometimes. You know, and our faith leads us, in this organization at least, to the idea that because of all those connections, because all these things are happening for people all over the world at the same time, simultaneously, we're connecting through all, you know, every time I drink tea, I'm connecting with the people who brought it to me, who produced it, who did all of those things. Same with a cup of coffee, the same with the chair I'm sitting on. Now, I may not be consciously aware of that, but those connections are still there because there is a shared experience, a shared consciousness. And that shared consciousness is what we call the one mind. One idea, one mind, one ability to think underneath and behind everything else is that one mind. You know, and there are so many different ideas about what ultimate power is all about. From the time humans have been humans and have been self-aware, we have begun to try and figure that out and talk about it and describe it. And yet, in most of the descriptions, humans have always been clear to say, this is a description, but there's a greater power behind it we really can't fully describe. You know, whether it starts out as the sun god or the seeing the gods in animals and plants and places, seeing totems as having power and energy and importance to us. Recognizing that somehow the sun is a great source of energy, so maybe that's a representation of what God is. And, you know, from the simpler things in our everyday lives to the very complex ideas of the Christ consciousness, complex ideas of the Buddha, of Allah, of Jehovah, and the library after library and book after book after book that we all are aware of in all across the world, explaining, understanding, and describing, and hoping to open all of us to a greater experience of that one, of that power behind the description, the describer. Before I got into this teaching, I used to say quite often, you know, I'm a Christian, I've been a Christian, I've been a Buddhist, I've been a lot of other things along my spiritual path, and it seems like we always get caught with the description and don't get past it to the deeper thing. And when I walked into this teaching, what I really experienced was the teacher pointing to there's something beyond. And the idea is to find ways to be as open to connect with the beyond as possible. And all these infinite paths and infinite ways and infinite connections are simply ways to open ourselves to a greater experience, to a greater knowing of that. I have a library here, this hundreds of books. I love it. I'm trying to sort it out and get rid of some of it so I don't keep hauling it around with me. However, every book is full of the effort of so many people and the effort of this one mind to be expressed through each of us. It is there. So this is the point of this whole wandering. And that is that there is one mind, one thought, one idea behind all of this, with many, many, multiple, infinite expressions. You know, many people experience it differently, as Lee said, but there are different words that somehow resonate more and give us more of a connection or a sense of connection with that infinite power, that ultimate power, whatever those words are. One God, one ultimate creator. Holy Spirit, for some people, is a very powerful word for feeling and knowing that sense of connection. When I first walked in these rooms, I heard infinite intelligence, and that resonated with me. It still does. Yeah. See, so you see it. You become consciousness of it. You may be conscious of it as energy. You may be conscious of it as some actual form or shape. Because you see, the important part to recognize is whatever that one mind, that ultimate power is, there is no way it could be separated or separate from us. If I tried to separate the person from the book, the consciousness that went into that book, the book would disappear in my hands. If I tried to separate my son-in-law from this chair and the table that he built, I would be tableless and chairless. Because his consciousness is what brought that together and created it. And that is so descriptive to me of how this infinite mind works within us. It is the stuff we're made of. It is the stuff that brings forward a greater idea, that brings forward shape and form and constantly creates new shapes and forms. See, we all have that idea of person, that idea of human being. And yet the varieties of human being are amazing. They're brilliant. So when you look at another person, what do you see? Think about that. Do you see the consciousness there? Do you see the ragtag homeless person or the woman, man, non-binary person or the child or the aging? You know, we see all of these unique characteristics. And yet, physically, we are far more alike than we are different. Genetically, we are far more alike than we are different. Because the one mind is expressing as all of this, and yet, because of the differences, that one mind is expressing uniquely and powerfully and wonderfully as human beings. You know, so whatever your particular expression of the infinite is, person of color, white, black, green, red, whatever culture you grew up in and has shaped your concepts of life, all of those things are part of that, those unique connections to the infinite mind, which is why we celebrate them and we celebrate you. Someone said, I come here to this community because they believe in me. And I want to say that to you. Yes, we believe in you because we know who you are. We know you're an expression of the divine. You're an expression of that infinite mind, that one mind coming forward and coming through. You know, I think about some of the people I see around and some of the people who irritate me, who just seem to be, couldn't possibly be from the same group of people I'm from. But then I have to go back years ago now, right after 9/11, when there was so much risk and so much fear in the world about what would happen next. A group of friends and I began to do visioning, and we began to envision the various world leaders as tiny babies. Cute little buggers that you just want to pick up and squeeze and hug and hold, you know. Then we saw them as playing together as toddlers. And we realized that there's that connection, regardless of where we get to in our adulthood and whatever false ideas of separation and difference we may carry. That unique oneness, that truth, that connecting, that coming from the same place is always there underneath and the real truth of who we are. You know, we're still, as adults, we're pulled towards that oneness. We're pulled towards that connection. I mean, all you have to look at is a football game or a softball, baseball, whatever sport you like, where they fill up stadiums with hundreds of thousands of people, not hundreds in one stadium, but, you know, if they could figure out a way to do it and everybody still see, they probably would. Because we have this urge to connect, this urge to be together. And it's wonderful that we have the internet and you can watch that stuff on TV, but they still fill up the stadiums when we're allowed to. Because there's something about being in the room together and feeling the oneness in that, those kinds of connections. It takes a little more effort with the internet. It takes a little more effort when the only people around us are ourselves and maybe one or two others. But that oneness is not gone. It's still there. You know, we connect in oneness through our thought groups. Whether you consider yourself a liberal or a conservative or a Christian or a Buddhist, or you think of yourself as someone who's very progressive and exciting and loves to adventure, or you think of yourself as calm and quiet and appreciating some easy meditation. All of those thought groups are ways that we connect in oneness, and yet each of us remains. We have attitude groups. You know what I'm talking about. You know, some people who are just mad. They're just angry all the time, and they end up collecting and connecting with other angry people or other frightened people, whether they ever really talk to them or not, but they end up gathering in the same thought groups. But look closer. Because every one of these thought groups, every one of these cultural groups, every one of our football, baseball, sports fans, all of that is still fueled by and connected through the one mind. And when we get that, when we really get that, then the apparent disconnections become less important. Still aware of the distinctions, but not building our whole worldview on how we're different, rather on how we are unique and how we can celebrate everyone's uniqueness. There's a phrase in our Declaration of Principles, which is not in the set that we use here on Sunday, but I want to share it with you. And in the middle part of it, it says, "The highest God, or mind, and the innermost God are the same God." Can we see that declaration, that quote? Okay, keep going. So that the idea then is Ernest Holmes added to that, and he said that when we see and recognize other people, and we know that that highest God and innermost God, the God, the energy, the power, the mind within each of us is the same thing, then it's much easier to see other people as our alter egos, as our alter selves, as a reflection of who we are, rather than some totally separate, disconnected being. That's how we're able to recognize each other and know each other. See, others are more like us than they're different, and we begin to see that. Now, granted, oneness does not mean sameness, even though there are similarities. Because if it did, it would be a very boring world. If everybody looked like me, or if everybody only saw one color blue, if everyone only experienced things a certain way. But the variety of life, the richness of life, the beauty that comes through, that shows up, it's what makes that oneness express itself in its fullness, like a blooming rose bush where all of the flowers are there and they appear to be unique, and yet it's all rose, and yet no two are alike. I was thinking about this morning, and I thought, you know, wouldn't it be interesting to have a beauty contest where there were no winners, except where everyone was a winner, where there wasn't a kind of competition that said one person wins and 32 others lose, because they don't fit some criteria that's been pre-established as to what is beautiful. But what if every person in the contest could be recognized and seen for the individual beauty and power that they are? So it becomes a display rather than a contest. men, women, children, all kinds of people. What if we saw the whole world that way? What if we started to look for the beauty in each one, despite of whatever other things might be going on? Yeah. So we don't want to just blanket out, but we do want to celebrate it. That every individual is an infinite expression of the power running through everyone and everything. And it is providing greater and greater variety for all of our pleasure and joy by creating what appear to be differences. The most powerful recognition of the one mind is in, through, and as everything. You can sense it, you can feel it, you can get in touch with it, and you can let it be. And so it is. So I want to invite you to take a few moments and take a little short mental trip with me here. Imagine yourself recognizing that beauty and goodness and power in another person. You may have someone in mind and you see them and you think about, you know, the tone of their skin, the beauty of their eyes, the uniqueness of their crooked nose, perhaps, or whatever else you need to see there. And as you think about that person and think about recognizing that beauty, what bubbles up inside? I suspect it's love. It's love that may show up as kindness or respect or appreciation or recognition. Find yourself in your mind saying, I see you, I hear you, I support you in love. The namaste is the idea of the God in me recognizing the God in you. Because the more I can do that, the more I see the oneness, the Godness in each of us, the more connected and empowered and free I am. So just keep looking more closely. Looking more closely at the world, from matter down to molecules, down to atoms, down to the quantum field, down to consciousness. Looking more closely at people. Can you see God? Can you see the mind? Can you see the one? You deserve to be in a world where you can see that, where you experience that, where you live that, because you are wonderful. And so it is. As we continue this journey, take a moment. If you'd like, close your eyes and just think about some person or thing in your home where you are, and look more closely. Think with me and allow your mind, your imagination to take you to all of the people who were involved in that person being here. Maybe you're thinking of yourself and the hordes of people standing behind you whose lives led down through time to your birth. Parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, and the numbers just begin to spread out after that to hundreds and hundreds of people who all were predecessors to who and what you are. That's an infinite connection to the one mind. Allow yourself to really appreciate that. Think about how a thing took its form. The food you eat. the things we enjoy and take for granted in our world around us, all of which are generated out of that one mind. And know this with me. The one consciousness that is God, the one light and life that is God, the one mind, infinite intelligence, expresses itself perfectly and beautifully as everything that is, including me and you. And as I settle into this awareness, it is moving through me and through you with ease, with grace, with goodness, and with deep appreciation for all of the rest of its creation. And so I open my mind and heart to be vigilant in seeing and recognizing the goodness everywhere, the mental mind everywhere, the spirit everywhere, in everything. And if I'm called out of that to take action, to do something to enhance it, or to support, or to be part of someone else's life, then I do it. I follow my call. If I'm particularly enamored by some aspect of creation, some group, some people, some person, some thing, some art, some way of expressing, that is my call from spirit to do something through me, as me, and I say yes. I allow it to unfold with ease, with grace. I'm grateful to know I live in this universe where I am a representative of a greater consciousness, a greater truth, a greater beingness. And I choose to open my life to allow its flow through me by honoring and recognizing it everywhere I go and in everyone I see. I'm grateful that this is the life that I am free to live. I'm grateful that I have some awareness about this, and I'm grateful for the new things I will have presented to me from my own consciousness and from my own experience as I continue to grow in this direction. And in this gratitude and ease, I let this be so. I let this be the truth for me, because it is, and so it is. Thank you for joining me on this journey, on this pathway through the mind, through my mind. And I trust it has awakened you to some new possibilities of how to see and how to be in the world, and to know and to recognize the value that you are as expressions of the divine mind. So now Lee is going to talk with us a bit about our contributions and how we keep this center going. Thank you. Lee?
Thank you, Bob. That was excellent. And, you know, this center has been blessed so much by the people that contribute, both in the treatments that we do, the prayers that we give to it, and the funding that we give to the center. And I just want to take a look and have us go through a treatment, and it's supposed to come up on the screen here in a moment. Sort of stalling. There we go. Please join me in the affirmation of prosperity. I live in a universe of abundance, and as I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow, and all that I share with life returns to me multiplied abundantly. And so it is. You can give through the website at CSL Midtown, and there are donate buttons there. So please consider that as we move on through this year. We have been blessed and just enjoy that so much. Now we have some announcements to make. There we go. And I'm not Karen, but I know Karen's out there somewhere, and had a little bit of trouble connecting today, but that happens. The theme for this month is One Journey, Many Paths. And so next Sunday, the talk is going to be about the journey that we are on to the freedom that we have. So please join us there. Reverend Jackie Daughtry is going to be our guest speaker, and it's going to be fabulous. The annual meeting is going to be on March 21st, and it's very important for people to participate in that because that's where we give an update financially as to where we are and what is happening at the center. And this has been a very interesting year for the center. And I know that the board has done a fantastic job of working through all the ups and downs that we've had. We lost Bruce Wilmuth, who is a great friend. And so Sunday, March 7th at 2 p.m., we're going to have a life memorial celebration for him. And it is truly a celebration of life because he is a wonderful man and he has transitioned to something that I know will be wonderful for him, that his life has been just a blessing to all of us. So I could dwell on this a lot, but we'll wait till March 7th to do that. Remember Tuesday afternoons from 12 to 12:30. We have the gathering that you can come and have any of your questions asked, answered by Bob and others. The Facebook broadcast can be shared. And so please do that. And we're on YouTube, or this new platform that we're using puts us out there everywhere. So it's quite a blessing to have that. And the Sunday morning discussion group where the practitioners come, and it's really about two things. It's about getting together as a community and talking about spiritual mind treatment and science of mind and spirituality. But it's driven by a daily practice that we have of reading out of the book that is called the 365 Science of Mind. So please join the people there. You can zoom in, and that information is on the webpage as well. So, and the practitioners are here for prayer work. So I think that's it. I just want to thank everybody for coming, and I'll turn it back over to Bob.
Great. Thank you. Thank you very much, Lee. So I would like to just close out by reminding you that this is our affirmation of life. We share it each Sunday, and it is designed to send us off with a better idea. So here we go. I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need. Everything I need. I have within me. Let me read that again. I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding. I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me. And so it is. Until next week, thank you.